Okay, let's pray, and then I'll go ahead and introduce it and all that. So, Lord, thank you very much for your word. Thank you for your people. And Lord, it's just such a blessing to be able to study the Bible together with the Northridge Baptist family. And I just pray that you would use us and use this time to help us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. Man, we are flying through the Bible. We got like, what, 1,183 more chapters, and we're done. So actually the way we're doing it is chronological, so the way we won't cover all of the books. But Genesis chapter 6. So we've covered the creation account, chapter 1, then a close-up examination of chapter 2, which we spent several weeks in with the creation of man, the commanding of man, and then the creation of woman and marriage, then the tempting of the woman and then the man, and then the condemning of the man and woman. They're ejected from the Garden of Eden, if you recall. God creates for them, not creates for them, He provides for them skins of clothing that to us is indicative of His salvation through the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And then four is Cain and Abel. We looked at several things in there that have to do with Cain and Abel and their sacrifices. One was accepted. Abel and his sacrifice were accepted. Cain and his sacrifice were not accepted by the Lord. Cain kills Abel, and then his seventh descendant does the similar stuff. Then chapter 5 is a genealogy, and we actually made several observations 2 weeks ago about that. There's a lot more that you could be had. We didn't really talk a lot about Enoch, for example. But now we're starting chapter 6. So chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Isn't that a shame? I didn't use them.
Early in the ministry, I came across a guy who did evangelistic work, and he had walked through the Bible. I think it's David Wilkerson or something like that.
Yeah, walked through the Bible. They still have that.
And he had a basic outline. Basic outline.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. You took it.
Genesis 1, creation. Genesis 2, special events in creation. Chapter 3, fall of man. Chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Chapter 5, genealogies. Chapter
right.
6. And that's the way through all the way up to Abraham. And then he went through the life of Abraham.
Yeah, they had 70 points and walked through the Old Testament. My brain doesn't go up to 70. So that's why I did my 12-point thing. The first 8 points are his.
And the interesting thing is that this way this guy did his evangelism. And he started.
No, it's a great way to get people. Most people don't have any clue about the Bible. So, but the major, I'd say the first 10 chapters, first 11 chapters, lay the foundation for everything. Everything. And we'll get into it. We're beginning Noah. Noah's actually chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9. Then we get into the Tower of Babel and stuff like that in chapter 10. But there's so many things that people have no clue about. And it impacts the way they think. As we said, our understanding is different. So the whole concept of sin, marriage, I mean, it's as relevant today as it has ever been. And we're going to actually talk about that. So I'll try not to get on rabbit trails because there's so much. And I mean, I'm just like bursting every week because there's so much. So Genesis 6, 1 through 7. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and that they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Verse 7, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the race face. I have the word above it is underlined, and so it's covering the letter, so I can read. From the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. And we're going to stop there, okay, until we get there next week, okay? We start with verse 8 next week. Now, lest, I didn't say lest now. I said lest you think that I'm going to explain this to your satisfaction. You are crazy. I'll just tell you right now. But listen, I will touch upon a few things, but there's some controversial stuff here. Not that it should be, but people have fought over it for years. To me, it's so incidental in some ways, it's not even funny because people have spent their lives fighting over what the sons of God and the daughters of men are. Now, I'm going to give you what I think. I'll give you a couple other viewpoints. But that's not the focus. And that's not the focus of the passage either. Okay, so we'll do that. Because I ran out of time, there's a lot written on the sons of God and the daughters of men. There's no fill in the blanks, so maybe you can just take notes or whatever if you want. I put the text in your notes so you can just write on it, circle it, or whatever. But let's just go through the passage, and then there's some summary points at the bottom. Okay, verse 1, now it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth. Let's stop there. What are we talking about? Not hard either. We're not making this hard. What has happened? Yeah, a lot of people on the earth. The population has grown. Everybody okay with that? So far, so good? Isn't that what God said? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. Okay, all that, it's happening. The problem is, as you will see, it's happening without God as the center of the human race. Okay? That's the point that you'll see here. Population is growing. And remember, how long were they living? We looked at that last week, or 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Methuselah, 969 years. Adam, 930 years. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, he's a young dude. He only lived 777 years. Lamech, Noah's father, I think it was 777. Must have been a weakling, you know, kind of thing. They lived a long time, so the population would be massive because people didn't die. And they probably had more kids, too, than, you know, if you live longer. If you think about it, you know, okay, it's say, I don't know, let's just choose 90, okay, because it's easy for my math, okay? But let's just say you live, instead of 90, how long, when you get married, what time, when do you get married? Now. If you live to be 90, maybe 20, maybe 30, it depends. But, okay, general term, let's just choose 20. You're of childbearing age to maybe 40, some people, believe it or not, even 50, okay? And then the rest of the time is, you know, enjoying spoiling your grandkids and all that. Okay, now, instead of 90, let's make that 900. And let's say, and it looks like they didn't, if you look at the genealogy, they didn't get married right away. And I don't know, maybe they were teenagers. Can you imagine being a teenager for 100 years? But I'm saying they had a lot more time. I don't know what it is, but in my mind, it's like we're all in a hurry, right? We're all in a hurry. When I was 5, I wanted to be 12, and that was like forever. And then when I was 12, it seemed like forever to get to 20, and I wanted to get married, blah, 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 have kids, you know. And all of a sudden, now I'm like thinking, this is going way too fast. I pedaled too fast, and now I'm like, woo! Now I'm going downhill, you know, and it's just going too fast. Well, if you live to be 900 years old, you got time. You know, you got time to think and develop and learn things and all that. So you're not in a hurry to get married. You're not in a hurry. But then, okay, say you got married when you were 200. Now, most of them seem to be get married in their 70s, 100, you know, like that, okay? So maybe there's, you know, you just spent 50 years learning things or whatever. But say you got married when you were 200 and you stopped having kids when you were 500. And people didn't die. You knew. You went over and visited great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa Adam. Because he's still around. Okay? All these people just... Okay? Men began to multiply. That's probably an understatement. On the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. Now, I don't really understand. Are they more females being born now or what? I don't know. I have it over on the side. Be fruitful and multiply. The population grows. And more females? What is that? But, I mean, they were having sons and daughters. And, by the way, in the genealogy, he had sons and daughters, and then he died. That was just a consistent, you know, if you summarize the man's life, he had sons and daughters, and he died. You know, that was kind of the description. Because you did all kinds of things, but one thing you could say is he had sons and daughters. I mean, okay? How many times have people changed jobs in their lives now? You know? Imagine if it would be 900. It's like, well, I was that for a while, and yeah, I'd done that and that and that and that. But I had sons and daughters. Yeah, that was the one eternal thing, in a sense. Right? The only eternal thing that you ever have is children. Right? But it says, and daughters were born to them. So maybe there was more women, females being born. Okay? That's maybe a possibility there. So maybe there's a growing population of females. Notice here that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. Now, let me talk to you about the sons of God real quick. There's at least three views. My view isn't one of the three, even. Anyone want to throw a view out, if you know? Yeah. Angels, the sons of God. Now, believe it or not, Henry Morris, who wrote the Genesis record, believes they're angels too. I'm like thinking, okay. So it sounds goofy. They have reasons. They say, I'll give you the reasons, okay. Let's say angels don't marry. They're not married or given in marriage. Well, then like Henry Morris would say, well, yeah, but angels aren't physical bodies either. But when they visited Abraham, they ate, okay. So they said maybe they could do other things like procreate or something. I don't accept that. I understand their logic. One of the reasons, and probably the biggest reason, is it's funny, but if the angels did this, why did God punish man? Yeah, well, sons of God is what we're talking about, the phrase there. Which sometimes in the Old Testament, angels are referred to as sons of God. So they're not totally off. And they say, well, and the New Testament talks about some angels held captive in Tartarus. They're... you know, until the end of time, and those are probably the angels. There's no connection, but they make that connection. There's no biblical connection. I'm trying to think what the second one was. This is the third one, anyway. You have the righteous versus the unrighteous. Righteous versus the unrighteous. But more specifically, the Sethites, the descendants of Seth, and the Cainites. Anyone, you know, these are the spiritual people and these are the ungodly people. These are the godly, okay? When Seth was born, then he had a son, and then men began to call upon the name of the Lord, said in the end of chapter 4, okay? What's the problem with that? I don't know why, but I'm sitting there reading these, and a lot of commentaries will, you know, review different views, and I'm like, there's something missing here.
I thought, well, it didn't matter what family they were from, they both could have righteous and unrighteous people.
Okay, I'll buy that for one. Okay. Okay. Did I hit less? Spirituality is not inherited, right? It doesn't matter if your parents were believers. You still have to be saved. You still have to walk with God. So, yeah, that's a good point right there, Jim. Did Adam and Eve only have two sons? It says that Adam had sons and daughters. And then, you know, he lived to be 930 years old and then he died. Okay, so not the only inhabitants, okay? So this to me is totally artificial. I get where I understand what they're saying. I just like, no. You know, no. It's not just the Sethites versus the Cainites, because number one, it's not inherited. Spirituality is not inherited. You have to be saved. Your kids have to be saved. Your grandkids have to be saved. It doesn't matter what you do. I mean, as far as you can't choose for them is what I'm saying. You can influence them, but you can't make the decision for them. But they're not the only inhabitants. There's other sons. I better put that on the side here. Other sons and daughters, by the way. That's where they got their wives, right? Other sons. Okay? And if I were to do this, I would probably take righteous versus unrighteous. Oh, no, I know what the third one was. Sons of God is mighty men. And I believe Dr. Kolber's view is this. He used to teach at the Faith Baptist Bible College. He was my doctrine teacher. But the idea was that sons of God, in the sense of a secular sense, the Pharaohs called themselves the sons of God, the whatever. So it had nothing to do with righteous or unrighteous. Okay? It had to do with basically some guys were very powerful and they just started living any way they wanted to. Okay? They were kind of running the show. Now, a fourth view, and that to me is the best view or a modification of this, where I would say righteous versus unrighteous, regardless of what family you're in. Okay? So it's not the Sethites and the Canaanites. So it's either mighty men or righteous versus unrighteous. I lean toward this one, the last one, the righteous versus the unrighteous. Not the Sethites versus the Canaanites, because there are more people on the earth than that. Okay? This one is, it could be it that they just got big and they got bad. Think of dictators. Think of people that we have in we have had in our times where they did whatever they wanted. Okay? And they had the power to do that. So wickedness just got even further pushed down the road. Okay? Or it's righteous versus the unrighteous. So let's go on here. And I think it's number four. Okay? And that doesn't, you don't even have to choose to get the gist of the passage. I don't think the first two are legitimate. But I understand if someone believes in it, fine. You know, you can confirm it with God when we get to heaven. If I'm wrong, I'll be on your team, you know. But you'll probably be on mine.
Is it possible? I've heard this possibility. Of course it's possible. But the sons of man are the descendants of Adam. Now, sons of God is the descendants of Adam because Adam is considered the son of God. I don't know if you catch me, but...
I don't. All right, and that blank deer in the headlights look is legitimate as it can get here.
Okay, well... When,
dumb looks are still free, no charge.
I believe it's Corinthians, there's the reference to two Adams. First Adam and second Adam.
Romans 5.
Thank you. Yes. The issue... When we come to the sons of God, Adam is referred to as the son of God. And he's
in the New
Adam.
Testament, yeah.
He's the first Adam. He had other sons of God because they were created in Adam's image, not God's image. That's the sense in which, at one time, I've heard that purported. It's just a matter of They used the term sons of God because Adam was
well,
created.
Well, in that vein, there would only be one son of God, and that would be Adam, as I understand what you're saying. Because everyone else would be sons of Adam.
Right. That's where they have gotten away from that.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if that's...
Yeah, I didn't read that in any of the commentaries. Most of them say there's three views.
Yeah.
It's not to say that there aren't four views or 10 views, or that anybody got it right so far, you know. But I'm saying, I would say that one kind of falls apart because of if Adam is the son of God, as it says in the genealogy of Mary in Luke chapter 2, I think it's 2, there's only one of those, right? Because the rest are descended in Adam's image kind of thing. So let's look here. Notice it says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful. Now, you might say that that's just inert, generic statement. But several of the commentaries brought out that they started and hang with me here. It's not hard, but it takes a little bit. It's like, oh, I get what they're saying now. But they started looking at women and evaluating them based upon how they looked rather than their character and their relationship with God. Does that make sense? As a possibility. That's why when you look over to the side, my main point on the side, there's polygamy skyrockets. And the first statement is lust reigns. So you start getting from a generic standpoint to here people are starting to say, I like women. That's not wrong, but I like women because of how they look. That's not the criteria to judge a woman. Okay? They look on the outside, not the inside. Okay? Hang with me here. Notice they said, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. You see where you get the polygamy is? And then you can see possibly where you get mighty men. But here's guys that are marrying as many women as they want. That's called polygamy. What's the word polygamy mean? Just as poly means many. And I'm sorry, ladies, but gamus is wife. So many wives. Gamus. Come here, gamus. Make me a sandwich. That's it. That's
make it yourself.
That's an inside joke in our family. My kids all smile when I say that. I have one of my son-in-laws that says that as a joke. Come here, woman, make me a sandwich. So it's like son-in-law Cole. No, it's a joke.
It's just a joke.
Yeah, so. So, but I'm saying here, what you see, and I'm going to focus on this a little bit. God's plan of marriage is rejected. Whoa! Does that bring us to today all of a sudden? Do you get what is going on here? Regardless of what all the details are, this we know to be the case. There was a rejection of God by rejecting His design of marriage and design for gender. If I recall, I mean, it's been a long time. We're in chapter 6, and then we're back in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. But it was just one man and one woman. Help me out here. Is my memory correct? Then Lamech was, what, 7 generations down from Cain, and he married 2 gals, right? You see that in Genesis 4. But here's just, it's just cutting loose. All of a sudden, women are property kind of thing, and they exist for these men's pleasure, whatever they want, whatever's beautiful. Okay? By the way, you'd probably have to be strong, and there seems to be an implication of even violence here. So a lot of wars, the conqueror kills the men, rapes the women, or does anything with the women. Dr. Kober, I mentioned, he grew up in East Germany before the last time he saw his dad, who would not join the military on his own, German soldiers came to the door and held a gun to his head and said, "You have 2 choices. You can join the Nazi army or you can die." So he left. He never saw him again. After the war was over, if you recall, the United States waited. They did not go into Berlin and they let the Russians come. Anyone know what Germany did to the Russians? They attacked Russia. Now, it was the worst thing that Germany could have done in hindsight, because a lot of their own men literally starved and froze to death. But they ravaged Russia. Okay? Conquered, do whatever you want. Now, they didn't conquer fully. It was ended up being a long war that Germany lost. But Russia, when they came back, Dr. Kober said they hid, because Russia, when they came into East Germany, they let their soldiers do whatever they wanted to do for 3 days. And everything imaginable was done. That's kind of the implication here. There's no law or order. It's the strong people rule. It's the survival of the strongest. not even necessarily the fittest, whoever has the biggest amount of weapons runs and does whatever he wants. Okay? That seems to be, so there's bands or hordes of people doing whatever they want. Okay? God's plan of marriage is rejected. And then there's a second part to this. If the sons of God means the righteous rather than just mighty men, if they're mighty men that have no reference to righteousness at all, then it's just bands of people doing whatever they want. Okay? Lawlessness and all that. If it's sons of God means that there is righteous and then unrighteous, which, I don't know, it seems to be that way, but there's a shift, you know, in the way they think, then all of a sudden, they're marrying people that they shouldn't on a basis that they shouldn't. Does that make sense? Remember we said that they saw that they were beautiful, and that was the criteria on which they judged and got married, as opposed to that they were righteous, and then they got married on the basis. Now, is that outside of what the Bible teaches in other places? There you go. All the way in the New Testament, the Bible commands us as believers not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, right? That isn't just marriage, but it certainly includes marriage. Now, you can back up, and I've listed them here in several places. There's two things that you have. You have polygamy, and you have mixed marriage. Now, when we say mixed marriage, we're not talking about different ethnic groups, okay? We'll get to this in Genesis 10, but when people talk about races, that is an evolutionistic term. There's one race, and that's the race of humanity, okay? We're all descended from Adam. We're all cousins, okay? When I talk about mixed marriage, I'm talking about righteous versus unrighteous. In other words, believers are uniting with unbelievers. Okay? There's two parts. Polygamy, which is the rejection of God's plan for marriage. That is evident in there. They took them all that they wanted. But there's also, if this means righteous versus unrighteous, there's also a mixing to where it says, you know what? Righteousness is no longer a criteria. We're going to marry whomever we want. Okay? You see polygamy some. You see this more, the mixed marriage idea. Okay? In your notes here, it's an ongoing problem today. Lamech, he had mixed marriage. Okay? He had multiple wives. Okay? Deuteronomy 17:17. Would you turn there if you got your Bible? This is when Moses was teaching, and he said, eventually you're going to want a king. And these are the guidelines for a king. And there's a whole bunch of stuff, but one of the things they're required not to do, they're prohibited. Deuteronomy 17:17, neither shall he multiply wives for himself. Why? Yeah. And listen, I'm not laying any blame on women. But it only took one to sway Adam in the garden. Adam made the choice. The Bible is clear on that. It's not Eve's fault that Adam fell. But men are easily swayed by women. Okay? Deuteronomy 17, verse 17. It says, neither shall he multiply wives for himself. Why? Lest his heart turn away. And that's the issue, okay? Then you go on to Gideon. Did you know Gideon had a bunch of wives?
Yes.
A bunch of wives. Judges 8:30. These are in the side of your notes, by the way. These passages that are there. I have them listed underneath polygamy skyrockets, okay? Verse 30, it says, Gideon had 70 sons who were his own offspring, for he had many wives. Now, let's just, well, that's cool. He had a big family. Well, no, listen. Anytime other than maybe Lamech that I know, but anytime you see where a man has more than one wife, you see trouble. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. Listen, all the way through, anytime there was more than one wife, it didn't go well for people. Okay? Gideon's son, by a concubine, killed all the rest of the sons, except one, because he didn't happen to be there. There's rivalry, there's hate, there's all of that. What happened in the life of David? David didn't have that many wives, but it was like 12. And he had the same rivalry and rebellion and all of that, because that's what it breeds. Even when Hannah and, what was Elkanah that was the husband, but he had another wife, and the one wife was mocking Hannah because she couldn't have any children. There was that rivalry. Jacob had two wives and two concubines, and they fought. Okay? It's outside the realm of God's design and plan. Solomon had, what, 300 wives, 700, you know, 1,000 between concubines and wives. And the passage is there, and we're kind of running out of time. 1 Kings, we weren't going to turn there, but 1 Kings 11:3. And the Bible says that his wives turned the wisest man that ever lived according to God apart from Jesus Christ. His wives turned his heart away from God. So, the whole polygamy thing is bad. You will see in the United States before long a fight for polygamy. Once you give up what marriage means, there was a gal that married herself yesterday. Look it up in the news. There was a gal that married her house not too long ago. But there will be, polygamy will become legal unless something changes about the law about marriage. Because if marriage is one man for one woman, if that can be changed, it can be changed to anything. You can marry your dog, you can marry your child. And all of that is in the works, okay? It's in the works. If you can, two men can be married or two women can be married, why not four men? Why not four men and two women? Why not a whole bunch of people? Why not whatever, okay? Now, so that's already in the works because it's rejecting the plan of God for marriage. But also, turn to Ezra. It's right before Job. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, right? Job's kind of easy to find, so you can back. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Ezra chapter 10, I believe it's the last chapter in Ezra. And by the way, I just didn't have time. But you see all the warnings throughout the Pentateuch. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And it says, do not let your wife or children marry unbelievers in essence. Over and over, because they will ruin your nation. They will turn your children's hearts away from God. Do not let them marry unbelievers. Okay? Over and over. Warning, warning, warning. Guess what happened? Not only did they do it, but the priest did it. That's chapter 10. I'm just starting in verse 1 of Ezra. Now, Ezra 10. Now while Ezra was praying and while he was confessing, weeping, and bowing down before the house of God, a very large assembly of men, women, and children gathered to him from Israel, for the people wept very bitterly. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, I should have Daniel read this. He's always reading the Bible at home, and he always gets the verses with all the names or something. One of the sons of Elam spoke up and said to Ezra, we have taken pagan wives from the peoples of the land, yet now there is hope in Israel in spite of this. That was one of the reasons Israel was destroyed by God. They had taken unbelieving wives. You think it's not a big deal? It is foundational. It's that big. Okay? We're in Ezra chapter 10. Ezra chapter 10. Now the people went to Ezra and said, hey, we've done this. It's bad. Now verse 3. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all these wives. By the way, a divorce. This was an authorized divorce. Okay? And those who have been born to them, according to the advice of my master, and of those who tremble at the commandment of God, let it be done according to the law. And this is the second time it happened, because I think it happened again in Nehemiah chapter 10. Because that mixes things, and all of a sudden truth is mixed with error. You can't have a godly person and an ungodly person, a person that believes in God, a person that believes something other than what God teaches, and raise godly children. You cannot get there from there. Okay? And so it starts this dispersing and confusing the truth, and it only takes one generation. Now, what if you mix mixed marriage with polygamous marriage and rejection of what marriage is all about? There is no hope for a nation. You hear me? Where are we today? If you understand, and I believe most churches don't even give this weight that it deserves. They don't. But Genesis 1 starts, and He made them male and female, and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. That's the very foundational essence of humanity, and the core of it begins at marriage. If you wreck marriage, you have destroyed the foundation of humanity, and you have nothing left but sin. Because everything else is a perversion or deviation of what God had intended. Whether it's roles of men, roles of women, the purpose of marriage, raising children, all of the above. Okay? And all of that is the very core of humanity. By the way, there are others. I don't have time. Jenny mentioned not being, if you will, being unequally yoked. That's that 2 Corinthians 6:14 in your notes there. So it's both of those. That's what seems happened. Marriage was rejected. And when you reject marriage, you're rejecting God, because that is the foundational, the first commandments in all of the Bible have to do with marriage. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. And then this whole pattern of creation, they're basically saying, God, you go away. Okay? And welcome to the United States of America. We've now arrived there. And guess what? God will not wait forever. He will judge sin. Okay? Hang on to your seatbelts, because we will finish this in just a few minutes here. The Lord, verse 3 there, it says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. You see that? God will not let people go forever and ever in sin. Whether it's individuals or whether it's nations, He will judge. He says, for He is indeed flesh, yet His days shall be 120 years. Quick remark, it's either He'll only live 120 years from this day out, or the other view, most of them seem to leave this way, that in 120 years, He will judge the world but with a flood. That's what it seems to be. Okay? That even though, you know, some people talk about, well, they'll only live 120 years instead of the 900 and some or whatever. He's basically saying, 120 years, I'm going to give him a chance, and after that's done, it's over. Okay? And that's what seems to have happened. 120 years later, flood. Okay? Verse 4, there were giants on the earth in those days, and also after, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children, those were the mighty men of old, men of renown. Again, if they're having all kinds of wives and all kinds of babies, they become very powerful. Giants, you see the word before and after the flood? I don't really know. I'm going to talk a little more at the after the flood about all the different possibilities as far as ethnic groups, changes, and all that. There used to be a lot more people of different flavors, colors, and sizes before the flood. Okay? So we only have a small fraction of what used to be on the earth. Okay. Well, probably size. I mean, even after the flood, Goliath was 9 feet, and they found small. I'm not like this, but small people, tiny people. You know. But I'm saying races of you, you know, not race, you know, but you know what I'm talking about. Before the flood, they found people that were short people. Their bones, their fossils and stuff like that. But there was also people that they found, like, footprints in Texas. Remember that? Footprints in Texas are like this big. Human footprints. And they actually crossed in the solidified fossilized mud, crossed the path of dinosaurs. Okay? They all lived on the earth together. So they're big and small people, just like today, only the variety was even bigger. Okay, now giants, maybe they're talking about giant dinosaurs. We don't know. It doesn't really say, and some people try to connect it with the children that they bore, but it doesn't connect it there in the text. The giants aren't the children that were born there. It's just basically saying that, you know, that they're... So it could be like powerful men, or it could be talking about big people.
There are... throughout the world, there's always been a race of people in biblical times that has always come up to call them the Anakims. And they were giant people. And
and we'll talk about that more after the flood. I'll get into that because there's gene pools, and all these descendants, Adam and Eve had all the genes for all these different kinds of people. Colors of hair, curly, long, different, all these different colors of skin. There's even blue people. I'll bring a picture. Okay? For real, people, there's genes that probably, there's remnants of these genes in people even today. Okay? So, tall people, there was probably still some genes of big people, as well as small people and all that kind of stuff. Okay, but we'll get into that. It's amazing. Blue people in Kentucky, and we're not talking bluegrass. We're talking blue people. Some of their kids were blue and some of them were not because they were descended from this line. Okay. Anyway, we'll be back to that in about 3 or 4 chapters. But notice there's a point of no return. He says, I will not do it forever in the shortened days, 120 years. Okay. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now notice the issue is the wickedness of man. So this is part of it, but it just, sin just exploded. Okay. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He's talking about the human race here. Wickedness. Rampant wickedness. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent, all they thought of was bad. Have you ever been around people like that? Seems like all they talk about is bad stuff. Well, think about all of society being that way. Verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man in the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. We're not getting into theological stuff here, but God grieved over man's sin. Okay? And he said, God is holy. We talked about that this morning. He cannot forever put up with sin. In his mercy, he does for a while, but eventually he will judge sin because he is holy first. Okay? So notice what he says in verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. That's how bad it was. He said, I'm just going to wipe them all out. Notice they're all land-based birds, creeping thing, beast, and man, as opposed to fish. Obviously, we know what's going to happen. The flood doesn't hurt the fish, right, by and large. So, now looking on the side, parenthetical stuff, giants, results of mixed marriage. And again, we're talking about results as in mixed marriage, righteous versus unrighteous. God, here's some points on the side. God sees, let's look at the bottom instead of the right, okay? Sin keeps getting worse and worse. Genesis 6:1. They ignore God's existence. They pretend that God wasn't there for all practical purposes. They ignore God's punishment and need for his mercy. There was no worship going on. They ignored God's plan and design in marriage, marrying as many as they wanted, and apparently without regard for who they were. Number 2, God, who is holy, will not put up with sin forever. In other words, indefinitely. I preached that one time, and people got mad at me. It's like, no, God, that's like, oh, God's mercies are always, it's like, no, I believe at times God says no, he turns his back, and he's done with you. Okay, I believe he'll do that. And I'm talking about saved people, too. In the sense that God says, okay, you want to go down that path? Have a great time. Because sin is going to eat you up. Okay? God sees sin. God grieves over sin. He's sad. I mean, it affects sin. It's not that he wants to judge people. God is a God of love, but he's holy first, right? And God sets a time limit, then he punishes sin. And we'll look at it probably next week, but the Bible says that Noah preached righteousness all the time he was building his ark. Okay? So they had 120 years of sermons. God at this time decides to destroy everyone and everything on earth. because of the sin that was there. And the bottom line, I think the key passage is in verse 5, that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is the takeaway. It's not who the sons of God were. It's not who the daughters of men were. There obviously was a violation of marriage. There's polygamy. But the bottom line is, sin was rampant, and God decided that he had enough. That's as far as it would go. He'd give 120 years, and then he would destroy the earth. He cannot put up with sin, and definitely because he is holy first. And verse 8 is, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So I want you to dwell on God's grieving of sin, but understand that God preserves some, a little tiny, 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 tiny little pocket of humanity in his grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand how bad sin is and how utterly holy you are. And I pray that you would help us to walk with you in holiness. Help us to honor marriage. Help us to encourage people to live rightly before you, because you are the creator and the designer of all of life, and you know how things are supposed to be. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us in love to preach your word, to proclaim your truth to all who are around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.